I greet all of you in the name of Bishop Braxton, who is the Bishop of Belleville. I know he knows of your gathering because I had to call him and to ask him if I could use my crozier. That's just a little thing that you do when you go to somebody else's diocese. So he told me to greet all of you. I welcome all of you also in the name of Archbishop Carlson from St. Louis. As I mentioned before, St. Vincent de Paul is the secondary patron of our diocese over across the river, along with St. Rose Philippine Duchenne. Our primary patron is St. Louis himself. So I was taught by the Vincentian Fathers, and I have a great debt of gratitude to them. So I was thrilled when I found that this morning's Mass would be on the feast of St. Vincent de Paul. And we ask the Lord's blessings and the intercession of St. Vincent on the Vincentian Fathers and the Daughters of Charity today. And I'm certainly glad to be a part of your National Assembly for the CMSWR. And this is, I don't know how this got started, I think when I was vocation director. And so I always enjoy coming to this Mass. I have to beg pardon for my throat. I feel fine, I just sound bad. The scriptures for today's Mass give us much to ponder. St. Paul, I believe, gives a working definition for all of us who desire to offer ourselves in service to the church within the framework of the church. We just don't do these things on our own, whatever our apostolates are. We always do it within the framework of the church. And so St. Paul says, consider your calling. Not many of you were wise by human standards, nor powerful, nor of noble background. Rather, he says, we are foolish according to the ways of the world. We are weak, lowly, despised, and reduced to nothing. And yet, in the condition of that nothingness, God acted on our behalf. God chose us for his work. And St. Paul would go on to say, it is due to him that you are in Christ Jesus. It's all about the grace of God active in our lives. And so I think we see in the writings of St. Paul the humility that is essential to being part of the church. Again, we don't act on our own. We act in accord with the church. And only in humility will our hearts be moved by the plight of those in need, as was the heart of Jesus in the gospel. He saw the crowds. They were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd, and we're told his heart was moved with pity for them. And he then invited others to share in his work. His work is the work of the church. It's not my work. It's not any one of you, your work. The work belongs to him. And therefore, in all humility, we should be honored and privileged to share in that work. But we see the need, therefore, for that spirit of humility. And if we are going to be faithful to his work, yes, we must be humble. And we must also strive to die to self, to die to my agenda, to die to what I think the church should look like. Each one of us. We have to die to self individually and as a congregation who desires to be faithful to the church. We can be tempted to create our own agenda. This is how I think the church should be. And when we do that, we've lost all humility and we've taken our eyes off of Christ. We can't go it alone, and we can't go in our own direction. Because when we do that, we've created our own church, contrary to the church of Christ. And I believe that the key to remaining faithful as women of the church, the key for all of us in remaining faithful to service in the church, is that daily contemplation of the face of Christ in the Eucharist and in prayer. Now, I didn't make that up. That's not my own thought either. It comes from starting afresh from Christ, the 2002 document from Rome, where we are told every vocation to the consecrated life is born in contemplation. And so, your first task before you do anything else must be contemplation, contemplating the face of Christ. Every reality of consecrated life, whatever your individual congregation, whatever the work might be, it is born and regenerated each day in the unending contemplation of the face of Christ. And the document gives a beautiful plea that religious who are dedicated to teaching or to the care of the sick or to the poor encounter the face of the Lord there also, in contemplation, in prayer, and in your apostolates. Keep always striving to see the face of Christ. And so if you desire to be ecclesial women faithful to the church, two pieces of advice. And it's not just for you, it's for all of us. Strive for humility, individually and as a congregation. Strive for humility and always seek the face of Christ in the Eucharist, in your prayer, and in your service. St. Vincent de Paul, pray for us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.